Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up? It's your boy, The Fed Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
PJ and Megs have teamed up with Mary's Place for Kicks for Kids to make sure the kids in need get a pair of brand new sneakers to call the very own. We'll reach that goal for sure of $40,000. Kid needs that confidence to walk the halls. They're going to go back to school, and they need to start the school year off right. The money raised, by the way, for Kicks for Kids, that'll go directly to Mary's Place. They will distribute the funds to the kids, and all the kids will get to choose their own brand and style of shoes.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And for every dollar counts toward giving a kid in need shoes that will help boost their confidence and get them ready for the school year. Please donate any amount you can now at KISW.com. That is a great organization, and they do amazing work.
Yes, so they do. Yes,
kids are actually going back to school this year, and shoes would be a very good thing. All right, a question. What made the meal memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Madeline. Welcome to the men's room.
I'm here.
Hola. We're happy you're here. Are you here?
Hello?
Hello.
Are you there?
Hola.
Hola.
It's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm. This is really going to be tough.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Are you there?
No. No, we're not here. We're somewhere else. But we'll be back.
Somewhere else, too.
Yeah, okay. So what made the meal memorable?
Every Sunday we used to go over to Grandma's house for dinner, and this particular time she was making a pot roast with carrots and potatoes and gravy and all that. And there was probably about 10 of us. And so when dinner was ready, Grandma and I would dish up everybody's plates. And so it came down to just her and I needing a plate. And when I went to scoop up my carrots and potatoes, I scooped up a big cigarette butt.
What kind of cigarettes was Grandma smoking?
Pall Mall unfiltered.
Grandma smoked in filters.
Smoked what?
That's probably how I saw it, was the filter. If there was no filter, it probably would have just dissolved and blended in.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I cannot believe that I did not eat more cigarette butts as a child, at least with my grandmother. She was always cooking when we showed up at the house, and she was never not smoking a cigarette. But she was one of those people. People don't do this much now. But back in the day, a lot of smokers, if they wanted to talk to you, they just kept a cigarette in their mouth. So it just bounced up and down, and we would watch ash break off the tip and, like, land in mashed potatoes,
sure.
Land in the gravy. And my brother and I got past that. Like, look, it's just full of ash.
The food's still going to be okay.
The food is still fine, but I never saw the cigarette falling. But I never saw her cook without it. I never saw her do anything without a cigarette in her mouth. It didn't matter, man. She'd go take a dump, and she'd light a cigarette, go in the bathroom, light it.
That's
up.
Sometimes the best time.
That is a very good time.
What made the meal memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah, it is weird. You're right. I remember seeing a lot of cigarettes hanging out of people's mouths.
But I don't know when it changed, but for the most part, like, if someone talked to you back in the day and they smoked, they never pulled it out of the room. They just kept talking.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would bounce up and down. Now, it's like, just take it out of your mouth for a second. Just a second. Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I was in the Navy, and I had been on about a 20-hour shift, and I hadn't eaten the entire time. Work's finally done. I'm sitting in front of the computer in my office with the lights off. I grab a granola bar, a Kashi bar, open it up, and I take a bite. And normally, they're ridiculously chewy and tough, but this one just crumbled in my mouth. So I open my mouth, and with the computer in the background, I can see bugs flying out of my mouth.
Ah,
with maggots.
Ah. You sound like a character from The Mummy. Ah. You got bugs flying out of your mouth.
Hopefully, that's the last one of those you ever ate.
Absolutely not. We bagged that sucker up, threw it out, and I said, give me another one right now or I'll never eat it again. And chomped through another one, and I've been good ever since.
Okay. All right. At least you overcame your fear.
What kind of bugs do you think were flying out of your mouth?
The worst kind. I have no idea, man. I'm a mechanic, but I know I didn't know them there anymore.
I've seen everything.
God damn, man. Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a bug.
We had a weird moth infestation in my where I grew up in the home. So whatever these larvae were, they would little tiny moths would be everywhere.
Yeah,
like the kind that would leave dust someplace. And so anytime anything, I mean, you had to check the box thoroughly. So like even in the cereal box, you could take the bag out, and then the bottom would be all the eggs and stuff. So it wasn't that they were necessarily, they would get in that cereal. But right when they were hatching, so we basically had to go through, and I remember this, man. We threw everything out that we had, cleaned the place, and then, you know, I mean, sanitized everything, bleached the shelves, did all these things. And I never heard my mom cuss like this before. She goes to the grocery store because she has to buy everything, sugar, flour.
Right.
I mean, all this dumb crap, cornstarch, you name it, all her baking things. Like, this stuff was in everything. And as soon as we got the place all cleared up, and she opened up the pantry for the first time to show, I think, my stepfather all the work that she'd done. Like, here's all the stuff we have now. We still need this. Like, two moths just kind of flying out. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I out of nowhere. And I mean, right. She's like, God, I mean, that was the first time I'd ever heard my mom say the F word out loud.
We had the occasional problem with the moths. Right. God, I forgot about that. But one of the houses we lived in, we had a bad problem with carpenter ants, right? And they're bigger, hard-ass shell. And they didn't, like, because they don't sting. They don't really do anything. But they're a nuisance. But we realized they targeted my cereal, because at that time I'm rocking the Frosted Flakes. So it's the only one that had like real sugar in it. And ants love sugar, man. I remember just pouring a bowl, because when you open the box, you don't see them. And then as soon as you pour it, you start to see like a black speck. And then there's like a waterfall of ants. And I mean, it just sucked. We threw out so much crap all the time. But basically, they'd buy me a box of Frosted Flakes. And after you had maybe two bowls, the ants found their way in. And it didn't matter what you did to try to seal it, try to hide it, all this crap. My father would freak out. But I think my favorite meal, I don't remember what we were eating. I just know the family of four sitting around the table. And my brother, unbeknownst to my father, about 2 days before this, my brother had volunteered to watch the fruit fly farm for his science class in high school, okay? And they had them, like, hermetically sealed in this blah, blah, blah. But he didn't tell my dad, right? And fruit flies were painted. So my father goes into his room, and he sees this tank full of fruit flies. And he calls my brother, like, Adrian, what in the F? And so my brother explains, and he goes, I'm doing it for the science project. I agreed I'd keep him here for the first week. And my father goes, look, if I find one fruit fly in this house, it's going to be your ass. My brother's response, of course, Dad, it's sealed with blah, blah, blah. My father rolls his eyes and goes, that's great. I'm telling you, if I find one fruit fly in this house, that's your ass. So my brother's like, fine, nothing to worry about. My brother is very confident that this sealed science project is fine, whatever. About 2 days later, we're sitting down, we're eating dinner. My father's looking down at his plate of food. And you know, fruit flies fly, right? It's real kind of lazy. And so I see this itty bitty black dot kind of drift in front of my father, but he's not looking. He's looking down. And I can see my brother just, he straightens up real hard, his eyes kind of bug. Now my mom gets wind that there's a fruit fly, but she doesn't want to be a part of the carnage that is sure to happen if my father, who made it very goddamn clear, does not want to see a fruit fly. All right, so this thing's going around the table for like 3 minutes, and he's not noticing. And I keep trying to talk because I want him to keep looking up. So, Dad, how was work? Hey, Dad! You know, my brother's trying to kick me under the table. Like, please, 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 please. Finally, my father, you see, he makes eye contact with this thing. And he's very quiet. He sets down his fork and his knife. He's very calm. And he points at it. And he looks at my brother. And goes, Adrian, what in the F is that? That's a fruit fly. I said, I know it's a fruit fly. Why is it up here? There was an accident. What do you mean there was an accident? And I'm just sitting there at dinner. Because, look, I was the kid who always got in trouble because I'm me. My brother never got in trouble because he's him. And it's not that he even did anything wrong. It's just what he did not explain later is that the night before, his impenetrable fruit fly aquarium or whatever had fallen off of his desk and broken. There are now thousands of fruit flies flying in his bedroom, but he had kept his door shut.
How did you get rid of them?
I don't remember entirely, but I remember my father. So again, we're sitting at the table, and I'm just kind of like finishing my meal and smiling because my father's being so calm, I know he's going to kill my brother. Like, if he's so calm, this is real, real bad. So he and my brother get up from the table. My mother waves me back down to the seat because I want to follow. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see how this is going to go down because this is awesome. But at the time, I don't know that his thing is broken yet, right? So they get up, they go downstairs to his bedroom, and you just hear my father screaming F-bomb. It's kind of muffled because they're below us. And I'm like, what? So now my mom jumps up because we don't know what's going on. We open his bedroom door. I mean, it is a black cloud in his bedroom. I mean, he slept in there the night before, but he was too scared to tell my father that this had gone down. My father lost his goddamn mind. I thought it was awesome. I had nothing to do with it. I watched my brother go down in flames. He drags my brother out of the house. They go to whatever store to buy whatever spray. But we had fruit flies for probably the next 3 years after that.
Jesus.
Because once you see one, it's already laid eggs.
It's done.
In the wintertime, it's fine. But once it gets warm, like, they'll be back.
And the thing is, my father's not the type who holds a grudge. But I mean, for a week after that, man, I started feeling bad for him. But like a week after that. Again, we sit down for dinner and you see like two or three fruit flies go by because that's what's going to happen now. And every time my father even look at my brother again, he's like, oh, because that's goddamn impenetrable. Because you know what you're doing. Goddamn genius. Thank you very goddamn much. I got this goddamn fruit. It was an awesome week for me. Terrible week for my brother.
You guys ever been stung in the mouth of the bee before?
No.
Oh, God. So this is why, Ted, you know, always you say like,
I'm trying to remember.
You always have to drink out of a glass. This was the trigger. I was like 12, 13 years old. And for my birthday, I didn't have a party that year, I don't believe, Mike. But I did, you know, once or every two weeks or so, my family would go to Sizzler. All right? And Sizzler was the steakhouse. It wasn't the greatest steakhouse in the world. They had steaks, you know, and anytime we go with cousins, uncles, whatever, all the big guys, they would always order a T-bone.
Of course. Right.
And the T-bone was like their steak. You know what I mean? Like, it was the big steak, and you could actually see it in the case when you walk by the front of the Sizzler. Anyway, so I'd always ask my stepfather if I could get the T-bone. And he was like, no, you know, you're not big enough and this and that. It's too expensive. It's $6.99. You know, like, and that was like,
so you know it's good.
That included baked potato salad bar, dessert, drink. You know what I mean? But it was like, it's too expensive. So for my birthday, I wanted a T-bone steak on the grill. And I wanted, a six pack instead of 3 liter bottles or 2 liter bottles. Cause they'd always go flat in like a day or two. I just wanted orange soda. So my mom, Faygo or Shasta or whatever the off brand was of at the time. So we're sitting outside, and I am fixated on the grill. I've got my can of Coke or my can of orange soda open, but it's on the table. I'm watching the T-bone. This is my first T-bone. I'm so fired up. You know, I'm watching it sizzle. Stepfather puts it on the plate, brings it over, and sets it down. And I take the first drink, second drink of that soda, and a bee goes in my mouth and stings me on the inside of my lip. Within 30 seconds, my entire lip has swollen up to the point where it's numb.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't even taste the steak. You know what I mean? Like, it hurts, but I'm still going to fight through it. I mean, like, my mom thought about taking me to the emergency room.
And you're like, well, no, I'm eating the steak.
She didn't know if I was, allergic to bees or whatever the deal was. She wasn't sure what stung me. You know, and I mean, my lip's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I got this big piece of meat in front of me. I can barely open up my mouth. My tongue's numb because I think he zapped me there. You know what I mean? It's just like, and since that point in time, psychologically, I have a very difficult time drinking out of a can. Which is stupid because I realize there's not a bee in a can anytime you open it at a bar or whatever.
I mean, that's part of what your PTSD is like, exactly. Right? But when I think of a can, I picture a bee stinging my freaking mouth.
Rainier Tallboy at a bar and be like, can I get a glass? Yeah, okay.
Is that why you always get a glass? Mm-hmm. Always. Every time. If they hand a can of beer, Miles always gets a glass.
Bottle beer, no problem. Because it didn't happen in a bottle. I can drink a bottle of beer. Just can't drink one in a can.
Right, which is I prefer everything in a can.
Yeah, but I think if I did get stung on the lip, like maybe my father, to this day, if he's outside with a can drink, his hand always just rests on top.
He probably had the same situation.
It wasn't him. He said it was a family reunion probably like 40 years ago.
Oh, you have no idea.
His cousin got stung. He said his cousin jumped up, started screaming, and in the time they said what happened, his cousin tried to explain that a bee had stung his lip. My father said it came up with a bee somewhere. Top lip.
And then you basically walk around the rest of the night with like an ice cube melting in your lip. You know what I mean? And then you gotta go alone. What made the meal memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hola.
So years ago, I went to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant in New York called The London. And while we were there, we were kind of talking to the maitre d', and I was telling him I'm a huge Gordon Ramsay fan and was asking him questions about Gordon Ramsay and, you know, is he like as bad in real life as he is on TV? And of course the guy said, oh, no, he's much worse in real life than he is on TV. But he said, you're a huge fan, so since you're such a big fan, just kind of give me a signal when you're done eating and I'll take you in the back and I'll give you a tour of the kitchen. So we actually got a private tour of the kitchen and got to meet the head chef there, which was a super cool guy from Australia, and chatted with him for about 15 minutes and just got to kind of putz around in the kitchen and look around.
That is cool. See, a positive story. Yeah. A positive meal story. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Involving Gordon Ramsay, no less.
Involving Gordon Ramsay. Did you ever cook yourself?
Oh, I cook all the time. I love cooking.
I mean, professionally.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm just, you know, like an armchair chef.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Normally, it's what do I have?
Yeah.
That's normally my limitation. What do I have? What can I make with this?
That's exactly it. I will tell you that cooking professionally helped me with that a lot. So now, at least when I'm home, like when there's nothing to eat, which is what you always hear, I'm like, we can make 15 different meals out of these four things we've got.
If I look at a recipe, I'm lucky to have half the ingredients. If I have the main stuff, that's fine. But most of the stuff.
Just the main stuff. Yeah, after exactly. that, because then you say, well,
I can
it's kind of like lasagna.
But
it's kind of like this type of soup.
And he was in a nice restaurant. But there was, like where I grew up, there was one specific Chinese place that we went all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was next to like the laundromat or whatever. So one day we're over at the laundromat. And as we're walking by, they have their door open, like on the side to the kitchen. And I remember my dad goes, don't look in there. And I go, why? And he goes, you're not going to want to eat there again. That's a real kitchen.
Right.
All I remember is there was like bales of hay and live animals. And I don't know that I ever ate at that Chinese restaurant again.
Wait a minute.
Bales like inside? Of
hay? Yeah, you could see in the kitchen and there was hay on the floor and two live chickens.
Well, I mean, if they got their eggs that way. Even if they got the chicken, I mean.
Or it's fresh. I mean,
I don't know, man. It just, we had always heard things about it because, like, the neighborhood was all split on this restaurant.
Right, right.
Like, some people still ate there. Some people were like, I only eat there if it's late at night and it's open. Like, we always ate there. But after that, I was like, I can't eat there anymore.
What made the meal memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Quick break, come back with more of your calls right after these.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
For the past 60 years, every generation of freshman students at Izumo High School in Izumo, Japan, have taken what they call a class of life. It's a six-month class during which the students help hatch and raise chickens. Last year, the class of life, they started in October. They were presented around 60 chicken eggs under the guidance of the teacher. They prepared them for incubation, washed them, arranged them in a special tray, and they learned to adjust the humidity and temperature on the incubator. Now, for the next 3 weeks, they were in charge of monitoring the eggs and making sure that the right conditions for hatching were met. And then once the chicks hatched, each student had to pick one and raise it as their very own. Now, the students were responsible for the well-being and proper growth of their chicken. They had to feed them, change their water frequently, monitor the temperature of the enclosure, as well as weigh them on their progress. As you can imagine, a lot of the students get very attached to the chickens, with some going as far as to treat them like pets. Either way, last month, after a final measurement and weighing of the chickens, the students were taught how to kill a chicken by the teacher. before having to slaughter the ones that they had spent 6 months raising.
Mm-hmm.
In a video, some of the girls taking the class of life can be seen turning away as a teacher and other students slaughtered the chickens, while others, they shed tears as they forced themselves to look on and told the chickens, "I'm sorry," before taking their lives. They say it's a painful experience, but one that is supposed to teach these students a valuable lesson. But they're not done. Finally, after killing the chickens, the students must cook and eat them to complete the class of life. The students are shown frying chicken and then eating it and thanking the chickens for their sacrifice.
Chickens are like, "F you, man. We were friends."
They had the same class with fish, which I think would be a lot easier.
But that's middle school, right? Yeah, so the chickens are high school.
That makes sense, yeah. That's an easy way in, maybe. I think a fish would be, you know,
Fish is a little easier, but they said the problem that the middle school students have with the fish is that middle school kids are a lot more apt to name them. So what they found is, with the high school kids, it's just, you know, they've raised this bird, then they got to slaughter it and eat it. They said with the middle school kids, they're still at that age, just young enough where it's like, "Ooh, this is my little fish Nemo," right? And they keep track, and like, you're gonna eat Nemo. He's gonna be sashimi.
What's that? What made the meal memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Seriously, good stuff. That was the dish they had the kids make. Seriously, they had to cut that thing, so you're eating it raw at that.
Wow.
Yeah, man. They're not messing around. Hello, Cody. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, guys. I was working at a nice little restaurant down in Portland. It was like my first job out of culinary school, and it was an open kitchen, so you could see everything that was happening on the inside.
Yep.
And I was making a salad for this couple, and they were sitting just right across the bar from me, probably like 2 feet away from me. And I was nervous, and I cut the tip of my finger off.
Oh!
And I stuffed one to the counter to where they could see. They were painfully aware of everything that was happening in front of them. But I was bleeding so bad that I had to leave. It was a bad night.
How much of a scene did you make? I mean, I've done it before. And, I mean, because the knives are typically sharp, but I mean, did the blood spurt out instantly?
Oh, it did, and I tried to hide the stain as much as I could, but nothing doing.
Right.
So.
Well, I know you had to leave, but it turned out when you went in the next time, did they leave you a nice tip?
Still by square fingers, though.
Damn. And they were able to put the finger back?
Oh, no, I didn't cut it off that bad, but it was bad enough that it was memorable, that's for sure.
Was that the worst mistake you made in the kitchen as far as injuring yourself?
Oh, no, I've hurt myself lots of times. I made an ass out of myself many times.
That's inevitable.
Part of the kitchens, for sure.
Have you ever caught yourself on fire?
I have caught side towels on fire, absolutely. Yeah,
that's why they're there.
Cut myself on fire, cut my fingers off, good times.
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that side towels are simply there to catch on fire. Honestly, guys, you never think about it. You know, when you got your back to something, you turn around and someone's like, dude, towel's on fire. I'm like, oh, God, and take your tongs. You stomp it out. I hated working in open kitchens because, and I get it, I get the appeal. And it's interesting to people, and they want to watch you make the food, and I get it. But, man, if you're busy or something's going wrong, it's really hard to, like, hide it from people. Because there's certain things you just don't need customers to know. And I was working at a pizza place, and I don't know what it is. People love watching people make pizza. It's fine. It's busy. But on this particular dough that I'm starting to stretch out, there's this lump in it, man. And I think it's an air bubble, which is not uncommon. You just kind of take your hand, mm-hmm. pop it out of there. So I smack this thing, but the air bubble, like, moves. So I hit it, and that's not out of the realm. But after, like, the fourth time, I'm like, it's not an air bubble. But there are customers kind of looking. They don't think anything is really untowardly. So I'm trying to keep it cool, but I ripped the dough open. There's a Band-Aid in it. And I'm like, man.
Yeah, but didn't you get a job in an open kitchen because the guy who came in before you was so ugly that they didn't want to hire him?
Yes, and so that is...
For the benefit, I mean, that says that you weren't as ugly as he was.
You got a job
because it's an open kitchen, and the dude who interviewed before you was ugly.
And I want you to keep something in mind. I was homeless. So I rolled in there because I needed a gig. So I'm looking as bad as I've ever looked. But this dude, I remember he's kind of big. I don't remember what his face looked like. But it was the only other guy that I saw there for the interview. He's done, but he showed up in his chef's coat. I'm just like, dude, you're effed, right? This is kind of a fancy restaurant. I look like garbage. I smell like pee, but I sit down, and after the guy gets my credentials, he's like, yeah, listen, man, you're hired. I was like, really? He goes, look, it came down to you or the other guy. And he said, that other guy, he is so ugly, it's an open kitchen. And I thought he was joking. I'm kind of laughing a little bit. And this dude, Ken, was his name. He was very stoic about it. He goes, no, seriously. He's like, if you're working that station right there, most of the kitchen you could not see, but the gourmet and dessert station were out in public view. Right on the other side of the barn. He said, you know, when people see ugly people, basically they eat less. He's like, honestly, God, it's like nobody wants to sit.
People say ugly people, they eat less.
He goes, do you like to stare at ugly things when you eat? And he goes, you know, it's a shame, but that guy's real ugly, and I can't have him. And he was, I feel bad for the dude, you know, but it's like, Jesus Christ, man.
That should be some kind of reality show. Like, where you get, like, a really, really good meal, but you're right across from someone who's just not doing so well.
Right. Eating a bucket of beans.
That's
with a
tough one. Because I feel like, depending on the genre or the cuisine, sometimes I want an ugly chef.
This was highfalutin stuff for Baltimore, anyway. I mean, this was a well-regarded restaurant. He just like, look, you can't look like that guy and be basically the sole representative of the kitchen, because everyone else is hidden away. But he's like, I don't want people looking at them and trying to eat food. And he's like, you will get lower check values.
Hmm.
And he's probably right. Yeah, I mean, think about it. You walk into a restaurant and say, man, there's a 20-minute wait. You're like, God damn it, I don't feel like waiting. But if the hostess who tells you that is super hot, you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I get that for the front of house.
Because I'm sitting there.
I just don't know that I've ever had a waiter. I was like, I can't eat. He's too ugly.
But the difference with the waiter is, you know, your waiter is not constantly in front of you. They show up when you need them. The thing about this job is you're always right there. You are dead center. You're basically the mascot for the rest of the room. So even if you have an ugly waiter, like, they just show up when you need a refill on the drink, when you order your food. This guy, and you're watching him make your food. It's just one of those things. He was convinced that psychologically.
I wonder what his ugly ass is doing to
him. Well, that's it. It's like, nobody wants an ugly person.
By the way, pizza, I think, is just the toss of the dough.
I know it is.
That's all it is, right? Because pizza's not the hardest thing to make, but you're right. Every time I'm in a pizza, like, oh, look, I can see you making it.
This is
crazy.
I know.
And you get tired of it after a while. You're like, I feel like I'm at the zoo.
That's one of the
I'm throwing a pizza dough, goddammit.
Even though they don't toss it, it's one of the reasons I like Mod Pizza. Because I'm going to like, yeah, put that on there. And then like, wait a minute, what's that? Put that on there. Like, I just, you know, by the time I get home, I've got like, I put too many things on here.
Right.
I put like 9 things on here. What made the meal memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Leanne. Welcome to the men's room.
Why, hello.
Hola.
Okay, so pot roast rabbit. I'm eating as I'm 8 years old and my sister is 7, and we have to begrudgingly pick out pieces of shotgun pellets in it.
Ah, so it was a backyard rabbit.
No, it came from Meat Man.
Meat Man.
Is that like Crackhead Chris?
No, this was, bless their hearts, my grandma and grandpa. It's like we had, you know, both Depression era, Grandpa's a grizzled World War II vet, and every week, Meat Man would come down. This is in rural Illinois, and they live on the floodplain levee, and he would bring sometimes stuff like catfish and stuff, but to this particular day, he brought a couple rabbits, and my grandma roasted them, and she wasn't the best cook at all. Did a pot roast and everything. And me and my sister sit there and, there's, you know, nice little metal pieces and pretty much every bite we took.
Yeah. Yep.
And
that's what happens when you blast a rabbit with a shotgun.
Yep. And it's like, we had to sit there and eat it and choke it down or else, because it's like I said, you don't backmouth grandma and World War II grandpa vet.
Do you eat rabbit now?
No.
Okay.
Is that why?
Yes.
I don't blame you.
I can't get over that.
You know, it's funny. Miles and I were talking about this last week. So not pulling pellets out of the rabbit, but it seemed like when we were growing up, if you ate any kind of fish product, but it was at home, right? Not at a restaurant. Like, before you could actually eat it, you had to take the bones out.
Oh, there's bones all over it. You know, unless you got like Van Camp fish sticks or something.
I was going to say, we always eat like those crappy, just like fish sticks and stuff.
I mean, we would get those on the side, but like any time that they made any kind of fish that they physically bought, like it was always, before you could just eat the goddamn thing, like, pick the bones out. And it was always, and your parents freak you out because they insinuate that as a kid, you're not going to do a good job. And it's like, all right, that's fair enough. But then if you don't get all the bones out, you could choke on them and die. And I used to be so freaked out to ever eat any goddamn fish.
Fish was terrible growing up.
Yeah.
Like, unless you went to the beach, unless you went to the ocean, like, the kind of fish, like, fish was, like, expensive, but no
but
one.
Was
like,
it?
Yeah, but the thing was
it?
Our parents didn't really want to admit that they didn't really like it that much. And I understand why, because it was terrible then. But at the same point in time, it was more expensive. But they knew they had to eat it for, like, you know, a healthy reason every once in a while to have fish. And I was just like, can't you just serve shrimp?
Anything.
I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Anything.
Yeah, but you're right. I don't remember having fish that much outside of fish sticks or, like, the frozen fish, like, square.
Or a fish sandwich at some restaurant or something.
Yeah.
What made the meal memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hola.
Well, interesting that you're just talking about fish and seafood. In the 70s, I grew up in Reno, and...
Hey! All right!
Lucky!
Uh-huh. Telling ya. So, you know, that's cattle country. We know meat. We don't know seafood. So, in the 70s, my mom went to her favorite regular grocery store, and they got a special shipment of crab, Dungeness crab, in. And she loves Dungeness crab, so she said, you know what, I don't care, I'm buying it, I'm going to take it home. I don't know anything about them, but I'm going to take it home, and I'm going to cook it. So she did exactly that, and made a nice meal for herself, got a glass of wine, went down to her bedroom so she didn't have to deal with us kids, had the light out, the TV on, and she ate. She had a great day, and loved it. And then went back to the grocery store the next day, and the butcher there asked her how she liked the crab, and she said it was great. And he said, did you have any trouble cleaning it? And she said, cleaning it?
Oh, God. Also, she ate the mustard, she ate all the guts, all the gills, all the stuff.
She ate the whole crab.
Hey, if she wants to eat it, man.
She liked it, then right. Okay.
It's like fish heads. A lot of people don't like fish heads, but they're edible.
By the time she got home, she was throwing up.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we never ate the mustard, because everybody said it would make you sick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this. If you want good seafood, if you're in downtown Reno now, the best place for sushi is at the strip club down by the train station.
Oh, well, I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, you really would. It's very interesting to walk into a strip club and see, like, a whole sashimi.
It sounds good.
It was just weird.
I'm only here for the articles, and I'm here for the fish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it's kind of like the shock you see when you walk into the Acropolis and realize there's a salad bar in there. You're like, whoa, that's weird. You know what I mean? This is like that.
It's weird, like, but I feel like sushi is probably the worst choice of food to serve at a strip club.
But it was the best. Like, it seriously was the recommended best place to go get sushi.
Was it good, kind of, or was it just better than
I
the
did
other
not
one?
Eat that.
You didn't get the sushi?
No.
Come on, man. You're in Reno.
No,
that it's
was,
at the strip
no,
club near the train station.
That was one of those moments where I had somebody who wouldn't leave me alone, and I had to leave because they wouldn't leave me alone.
What, like the Chicken Denver kind of?
You know, like
doing?
If there are 50 women in this place, mm-hmm. the last one that you would want to sit
yes.
down and talk to you, that's the one I get every time. And so, but there's no. There's no. No, I'm okay. You know, sure, I'll buy you a drink, but, you know, you go do your thing. You know what I mean? No, I don't want that. No, I'm good. No, I'm watching her. No. And then after a while, I was just like, this is exhausting. I got to mm-hmm. get out of here. I mean, honest to God, like.
It's like, why do you keep coming back? I got booted out of the place in Alaska for that, man. And I wasn't doing, I'm just watching these chicks dance. And this one, she would make the rounds, but she would always come to me. And finally, on the fourth time, right, she'd come, hey, dance, drink, whatever. Like, nah, man, I'm just, like, literally, I'm just here to drink, have a good time. She's like, all right. 10 minutes later, she's back. So on the fourth time, and like, I'm getting annoyed, man. Like, you've got to, and again, probably the last one there that you want to approach you, but I'm like, come on, man. I mean, like,
I just gave her like $20 up on stage. I'm waiting for her to come down. You know what I mean?
Like, but I was like,
you're sitting here.
I was like, but this is the fourth time you've come here. And I don't know what you don't understand about no, but no. She goes, why not? I was like, because I think you're ugly. How about that? Then she told the bouncer, and that was the end of my night.
What made the meal memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
She wasn't even really that ugly. I didn't know what else to say. Serious. Hello, Elliot. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
How
you gentlemen doing?
We're doing great.
Oh, I'm having a blast. Whoop, there's a guy there. What made the meal memorable? Through a chain of events, 4-ish years ago, me and my girlfriend went to a blind dinner.
What is that?
It was hosted by Blindness Awareness Association or something along those lines.
All right.
And they took blind servers, took seeing people into a completely blacked out room with curtains and all that. We turned our cell phones off and we sat down to a dinner that was prepared specifically for us. A lot of, you know, gluten-free stuff so that, you know, everybody could eat it. A lot of textures, a lot of interesting flavors. It was absolutely wild.
Was it good?
Yeah.
That says it all.
I mean, they had to make it so that everybody could eat it with, like, you know, sensitivities and stuff. A couple of the segments were good, and most of them, you picked up a couple bites with your fingers and put it in your mouth, and, like, young kids did not eat the rest of it.
What was the weirdest texture that went into your mouth?
The weirdo texture was probably one of the mashed bean things. At the end of the dinner, when they turned lights on, you look down your plate and you see all sorts of colors and stuff. There's a lot of beans, lots of veggies.
All right, well, that's not the worst thing. Well, what is the one texture in your mouth that you have a hard time eating?
The worst texture in my own mouth is rice pudding.
Rice pudding. I was going to say. Right. See, for me, cottage cheese ranks really, really high. There's, for some reason, I can't get past that.
It doesn't bother me, but I get, because it looks tongue. Like I took, it looks like I took mozzarella cheese, chewed it up, didn't swallow it, spit it into a bucket, and then passed it to you.
Right. Tongue, for whatever reason, because it feels like the tongue. You know what I mean? Any tongue. I mean, it's just.
To me, it's like.
Or sea urchin.
I was going to say organs, or like. Mm-hmm. I think I've had pate like twice, and I was like, this is weird.
Pate doesn't.
And it took me a while to get over the oyster hump. You know, I was probably 23, 24 before I really started enjoying raw oysters. But you got to remember, on the East Coast, they were a foot and a half long. I mean,
but also, you don't chew them much. So. I think the advantage of oysters is that you don't chew them a whole lot. You know what I mean? You put some crap on there, you kind of suck them out, and they just shoot down your throat whether you wanted them to or not.
But I don't think I realized that. And we're talking about bigger oysters. So, like, they're, even if I got fried oysters, they're always chewy, and I just.
That's the problem with the fried oysters, like, because, like, the outside of it feels good, right? But. Nothing should feel like an oyster except an oyster. And then once you fry it, like, my mindset's a little different, and then you get to this crispy outside, and you're like, oh.
No, some places do it right. I mean, there's places in town here that do great fried oysters.
Fried oysters smell amazing.
I had a guy, two dudes, I guess they were, like, fishermen or whatever. This is in New Orleans, so we're in a neighborhood bar, and they're in there talking at the top of their lungs, but they're talking to the bartender, and, yeah, we just came in with the boat. Oh, we had a good haul. Got all them sea boogers. I can't believe people fly all the way down just to eat sea boogers. Nothing but snot in the shell. And then a piece of gum. You're talking about oysters. I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to order that dozen oysters I was about to get. Because he would not stop saying
look
sea
at the
boogers.
Clams, please.
Yeah.
What made the meal memorable? 206-421 Rob.
See, and I can only eat oysters now because I'm smart enough to chew them a little bit instead of just choking
really?
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, I just let the bad boy get on my throat.
I always get the smallest ones I can that are not as briny and just shoot them.
Yeah, I tried.
Yeah.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola. All
right, so a couple years ago, I was floating the Snake River. I started up in Hell's Canyon. So it was a four-day river rafting trip. And each day we'd have different meals. But at the end of it, we had basically a fend for yourself and whatever was left. Well, there was one leftover lasagna that my mom made for the whole group, and it was really freaking good. So instead of heating it up, I got the freezer seal bag, cut a hole in the bottom of it, and just sucked it out while floating in the river.
Lasagna?
Oh, yeah. So it was like a yogurt lasagna.
Those are two terms that should not really go together.
A yogurt lasagna.
Did it taste the same?
Oh, it was excellent. I mean, being on the river for like 4 days and then just floating in the non-rapid part, just sucking
out
lasagna was epic.
Sucking out lasagna. Sounds like a euphemism.
Lasagna. Yeah.
So if I came up with a product and in place of yogurt, it's just cold stewed lasagna. Is this something you would buy?
Probably not, because my mom's lasagna is really awesome. It has a really good like bechamel, and it has a really good meat sauce called. Bolognese, and the noodles were just excellent. And after being vacuum sealed and cooked the day before, it was just excellent.
You know, I don't know why I'm judging. I would do the, like, I'm a lasagna fiend. It could be liquefied. I would just drink it.
You know what, though, too, when you're, it seems like no matter what the crap is you're eating for dinner when you're camping, because you've had such a long day and it's been so tiring, everything tastes good. Whether it's like,
it's fine.
Dehydrated chili or whatever the meals are, like, whenever I get down to it, I'm just like, you know what, this stroganoff thing is not as bad as
especially if you're doing something physical. Like, yeah, if you've been on a hike or whatever, right. Like, you're just hungry.
By the time you eat, like, you
that doesn't mean it tastes good. That's just your body appreciating some sustenance.
Everybody's got, like, a bowl and a spoon, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, give me another slop, you know, spoonful. Like, it hits down. It's like, is there seconds?
There you go.
You would never eat it at home. It tastes so good when you're camping.
I want to open a restaurant where it's all about the sounds the food makes when we serve.
It's a pleasure.
It's like school cafeteria. On your tray here. Eat that. What is that?
Just welcome to Sounds.
Eat it.
The restaurant of the future.
What made the meal memorable? We've got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.